Let's get ready for Oregon and Stanford. Who better than the fine sports journalist for the San Francisco Chronicle? He's covered some amazing events. Now wired into Cardinal Sports Online. Find his work at sfchronicle.com. On Twitter, it's at Tom G. Fitzgerald. Tom Fitzgerald joins us. Tom, we really appreciate the time. How is life treating you these days?
Hey, Tom.
Well, it's going great, guys, and thanks for having me on. We're getting a lot of duck weather here today. I'm in Oakland right now, and it's raining pretty good, so this is something new for us.
Wow, sorry, we didn't mean to pass anything this evil along your way.
Raining in the town, how about that?
So, Tom, I'm from the East Coast. I was born in 1960, a huge hockey fan, and I read that you covered the Miracle on Ice, now approaching its 39th anniversary. I've got to ask you about that experience at Lake Placid, and for folks who might be too young to understand, how impossible it was to beat that Soviet Red Army team.
It was impossible, and they did it anyway. It was funny because the 2 weeks before that Olympics, the U.S. team had played the Soviet team. It was then the Soviet Union, of course, and they played that team in Madison Square Garden, and they lost. It was something like 10-3. and the thing to remember about this matchup was the Russians were like in their late 20s and some in their 30s. I would imagine they were the basically your NHL stars of the Soviet Union. They were pros and great players, and the U.S. was a bunch of college kids. So what happened was remarkable, and I'll never forget it. It was Lake Placid, New York, in 1980. It was the it was not the gold medal game. It was the game to get to the gold medal game, and U.S. fell behind. They finally caught up, and they went ahead. And then the last, 15 minutes of that game, it was just about the most exciting situation that I've ever been in. And trying to write about it, I was a young reporter, a relatively young reporter, and I was pretty overwhelmed by the moment. I have to admit, it was one of those times where you wish you were older so you could put it in better perspective. But one of the most exciting things I've ever seen in my life.
I'm curious for your thoughts on the passing of Frank Robinson this week. Did you interact with him at all in any of his managing stops, including the Giants back in the 80s?
Well, I did a little bit. It's funny, Robinson. I was a fan of his. I mean, I watched him play. I'm from Massachusetts, but when I was in the service in the Navy, I saw Frank Robinson play in Baltimore, and what an extraordinary player he was. And I did have an interaction with him briefly when he was with the manager of the Giants. It was a game where they were getting set up for the All-Star game. It was going to be in San Francisco, and so the paper sent me out. I'm not a baseball writer, but they sent me out to talk to Frank about his All-Star memories. Of course, he had a bunch of them because he was such a great player. He had some terrific All-Star game moments, and I think I caught Frank on a bad day because let's just say he was not real happy with the. And I was there by myself, talking. It wasn't with a pack of reporters or anything like that. But I said, I just want to get some of your All-Star memories, and it was for a game that was going to be in San Francisco, and I thought everybody'd be pretty happy to promote it, and he basically kicked me out of his office.
That's classic, and that's the 84 game, if memory serves correctly.
The earlier All-Star game, not the most recent one, I was kind of flabbergasted. I was flabbergasted more than I was disappointed. It's one of those situations. I don't know what to say. I went back to my boss and say, well.
So it sounds like we're hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, that your official take is that Frank Robinson was a jerk.
I think I don't know. To me, that day he was. I may have just caught him on a bad day.
Sure.
All right. Well, now that we've covered the Arizioni game winner and Frank Robinson, I guess we should move to Stanford basketball. Tom, I wanted to ask you about Cormac Ryan. Speaking of the East Coast from Westchester County, north of New York City, he missed some time injured. He's been in the last couple games. What could you tell us about his game and how he's played as a freshman this year?
Well, he's been very good, but he's had ankle problems, and he's been in and out of the lineup the last few weeks. I think he had ankle sprains with both ankles, I think, and he's a terrific player. He's going to be a really, really fine Pac-12 player. He's a lights-out shooter. I don't think he's really shown what he can do in that respect just yet because of the lack of minutes, but he's an outstanding, he's more than just a shooter. I mean, he can play defense, he can move the ball, he can pass and dribble and all that. He's big enough, he's 6'5". I mean, he's a real find for Stanford. I think he's going to have a wonderful future there. That team, I mean, Stanford, maybe they are just starting to get it together. They had a real struggle to beat Cal last week, and they got a favorable call. It was a good call, but it was a favorable call for Stanford right at the last couple of seconds on a charge or block, and they were able to escape with that. And then they looked good against Oregon State last night, even though Deshaun Davis got hurt. So, and I don't know what his status is going to be for the Oregon game. You know, a lot of it is Casey Okpala. He's a wonderful 6'9" forward, sophomore. He's an outstanding driver, finisher. He needs to work on his perimeter shooting if he wants to go to the NBA. But he probably put on some weight, but he's a terrific player too.
You know, the Cardinal barely above 500 right now, but you know, that's a decisive win over Oregon State yesterday. So now they won four of their last five. Now they have the Ducks, then the LA and Arizona schools. I'm curious what the feel is right now, because do they need to beat a couple of those teams to make us believe they can actually do something in the conference tournament? Because you know, for both of these teams, frankly, you know, any postseason hopes kind of rides on that.
That's right. Stanford's going to have to win at least one and hopefully two next week at home against the LA school. If they really want to get into that top four conversation and get the first round bye in the Pac-12 tournament, they're not going to challenge for the top. I mean, I think Washington's pretty well, they're sailing now. I mean, I think that's an outstanding team. So the trick is for Stanford and a lot of other teams, Pac-12, that they know they've got to win that tournament, not just look good in it if they want to get to the Big Ten. And so Stanford has got to they've got to get hot. They've got to beat Oregon. They've got to, and then they almost have to sweep the LA schools next week because we're a little bit over halfway, but this is the home stretch and. You've got to make it happen, and when you've got home games, you've got to sweep at home.
Couple of final thoughts for Tom Fitzgerald. I always like to get the view from outside our Eugene bubble of this Duck team. We all know it's not the squad they expected, the bowl injury. So in speaking with the coaches and players, you know, what you've seen of Oregon, what's kind of the word among the Stanford guys about the kind of Duck team they expect to face in this big game?
Well, everybody knows Dana Altman's a terrific coach, getting his players together, you know, getting new guys every year and making them play together. I mean, that's sort of a trademark of his. You get a new batch of players every year and get them to play together. Now, I know this Duck team is not the Duck team that we're used to. I really haven't seen a whole lot of them. I was really disappointed that Bull got hurt because I was looking forward to seeing him. You know, down here where everybody loves Manute Bol, and thought he was just a fine player and a fine man, and just an extraordinary human being, really. And his son is probably seems to be cut from the same cloth. So I felt very bad for him that he got hurt. We don't from a selfish standpoint, we don't get a chance to see him. But other than that, I really don't know a heck of a lot about Oregon. I have to say, I think it's going to be a stern test because it always is there in Eugene for Stanford. But this Stanford team is getting better. You know, they're starting to get it, get their cohesiveness, and they're starting to get their confidence. I think that's the big thing, getting some shooting confidence, because a lot of games this year, they haven't really had that.
Folks, he's Tom Fitzgerald. Tom, we really enjoy and admire your work for the San Francisco Chronicle. Folks, you could keep up with him at sfchronicle.com. On Twitter, it's at Tom G. Fitzgerald. Hey, we really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope to catch up again down the road.
Thanks, Tom.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right, take it easy.